This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Bob Powell. About 2.5 million children in the U.S. are being raised by grandparents or relatives instead of birth parents. That number is rising. West Virginia saw a 16% increase from 2000 to 2015. The George family, like many across the state, know the effects of addiction and are working hard to protect the next generation. From our archived Best of Stories from 2017, Kara Lofton takes us to meet this family in Jackson County.
In 2014, more than a third of all children removed from their homes because of parental alcohol and drug use were placed with relatives. In many ways, that's good news for kids. Research shows that grand families protect against trauma and promote resilience. But the arrangement can also be incredibly difficult for the grandparents themselves, many of whom are older and dealing with their own challenges, especially when it comes to physical health.
Wait a minute, here comes Kiki or JoJo. Look, you see the bus? Look, see the bus?
Kelly George bounces a toddler on her hip while waiting for two of her grandchildren to get off the bus.
It is hard. The youngest one is Audrey, and she, when she graduates, I guess I'll be 60, 67. And every summer I wonder, can I keep up with them?
Kelly is 55. She says some days are just really exhausting.
But it's worth it because I don't want them deprived of their childhood because I'm old. Because I'm an old mom. And they call me mom. And it's something that they chose. Hey, lady.
Kelly worked with kids with behavior disorders for 20 years, but retired early when, about 10 years ago, she and her husband got custody of two grandchildren from their daughter who is a recovering heroin and methamphetamine addict. The girls are now 10 and 13. Their younger sister, age 7, has also been with Kelly since she was born. The toddler Kelly is holding is her son's. He and his wife are also both in recovery, but are doing well. Today, Kelly is simply caring for the baby since the toddler was too sick to go to daycare. At one point, though, Kelly had 5 of her children's children officially and unofficially under her care.
At first, it was pills, of course, Lortabs, snorting. Then it became Oxys and Roxys, and then it became Opanas. And then when they restricted the pills to where they couldn't shoot them anymore or break them down, then that's when heroin went crazy here.
Kelly worries about her ability to keep up with her girls as she ages. She not only cares for the 3 grandchildren, but also her husband, who she says is very good with homework and a great support, but is very ill. He was given 5 years to live in 2005 due to various lung and heart issues. Shirley Neach is a geriatrician. She says most of the grand families she sees are headed up by grandparents in their 50s or 60s like Kelly. But sometimes great-grandparents are the primary caregivers and could be in their 80s or 90s.
Well, they have the medical problems that people their age have, which tends to be not just one, but multiple problems, the most common of which is arthritis. And, of course, the more arthritis you get, the more difficult it's likely to be for you to be able to just literally keep up with a grandchild.
And then she says older adults caring for children don't do as good a job managing their own preventative health care.
Every dime that I have goes on these kids. I mean, obviously, I have a pair of glasses that I need, and I don't have them. These are all scratched up. I can hardly see out of them right now. Audrey has new glasses. And I had to take her to Morgantown for a second opinion. That all came out of my pocket. You just do what you can to the best of your ability.
As hard as it is on the grandparents, pediatrician James Bales says the arrangement can be really beneficial for the kids.
Well, I think if you look at the alternatives, placing a kid in foster care or being in a situation where the parents are, you know, abusing drugs or financially can't support the kids, it's much better for the kids to be in a stable situation with the grandparents. So I see a lot of benefit from it overall, if the grandparents can physically do it.
Do you see grandparents who really can't physically do it?
I do, and I have a few patients who's, you know, we're talking about grandparents who may be, 70s, 80 years old, or great grandparents even in some situations where, you know, physically they really struggle just to take care of themselves. And so, you know, to throw in an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old that's an active kid that wants to be involved with sports and other activities, That makes it very difficult for them.
Kelly agrees. She says when the girls first came to her home, they had problems with anger, eating habits, and anxiety. During a recent visit to the George home, though, the girls happily babbled about their school day, scavenged for snacks, and pet the dogs, like any other children their age would do.
If Josh and Jennifer, or God forbid, my daughter relapses, I'm going to beg somebody in my family to do it, because I just don't think I can do it. I don't think I can do it anymore. I don't think I could take on a baby right now.
Kelly says it's not just the physical aspect for her, although that's a big concern, but also the mental toll it takes on her family.
I'm physically exhausted. I'm mentally exhausted.
When asked, how did this happen? How did addiction become such a problem in her family? Kelly didn't have an answer. Like many, she wishes she knew. During a follow-up phone conversation, she said, addiction has no boundaries. If you think you're exempt and your family is exempt, you'll be wrong, because addiction comes from good and bad homes. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Bob Powell. It's 7:50. The National Weather Service has wind chill warnings in effect for the Eastern Mountains and Potomac Highlands until tomorrow afternoon, and wind chill advisories for most of the state through 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Today it'll be partly sunny, blustery, and cold with some scattered snow showers through the day today, and highs will be in the teens, wind gusts of up to 30 miles per hour, and sub or near zero wind chill factors over the eastern and northern parts of the state today. Currently, 52 county school systems are closed. Also, Jefferson, Kanawha, and Putnam counties are operating on two-hour delays today. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. We hear a lot of political rhetoric about job-killing regulations and their effect on the coal industry, but in some corners of coal country, environmental regulations create jobs. Here's another of our archived best of stories from 2017. Glennis Board reports on how stream restoration is part of a multi-million dollar business, and some displaced miners are tapped into that revenue stream.
Hydrologist Ed Watson with the Canaan Valley Institute is in the business of fixing broken streams. And yes, it's a business. From the inside of his truck, Watson points to a hillside towering behind a shopping center in Logan County, West Virginia. His organization just finished restoring an entire watershed here. The project took 5 years.
So the watershed we're going into was mined pre-law, as they say.
What he means by pre-law is that this mountain was mined for coal before the Surface Mining Control and Reclamation Act, which requires companies to try to reclaim land.
We all decided that we could actually do something and possibly put some streams back where streams haven't flowed for 50 or 60 years.
Watson studied old topographical maps and clues in the land to figure out where streams here used to flow.
Our thought process was to try to rehook up the plumbing of the watershed. I'm not sure exactly what we can see from right here.
He points at a reconstructed hillside, a really steep one, with a small stream built in, complete with rocks, woody debris, and native trees and shrubs planted alongside.
So we built a stream that is as though it has sorted itself out, but in year one instead of year 10,000.
Watson was hired to design this project by a land restoration company that buys property to see it permanently restored. That company, Ecosystem Investment Partners, owns about 13 similar properties across the country, 70,000 acres in all. About 2,000 of these restored properties exist in the U.S. Land restoration companies get credit from federal agencies based on restoration accomplishments.
So you come back after 5 years and somebody assesses what the ecological value is based on a certain scoring mechanism, and then that credit is a commodity that can be bought and sold.
And while Watson does this kind of work because he loves improving the environment, he also loves a paycheck, and so do the contractors hired to turn his designs into reality.
Our basic business is a construction business that specializes in rebuilding streams and wetlands.
Chris White co-founded a company called Appalachian Stream Restoration about 13 years ago.
So you talked about how like people think of you as environmentalists. Do you consider yourselves environmentalists?
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so. I prefer to think of myself as a capitalist.
White grew up in what he calls hit-or-miss coal mining. He now employs about 30 people, many of them displaced miners. They travel all over the region fixing broken streams with backhoes and other heavy machinery. He has a $2 million payroll annually. And according to the National Mitigation Banking Association, the ecological restoration industry as a whole creates $25 billion each year.
It's a huge economy that requires specialized training, requires specialized people, and create high-paying jobs.
And it's all possible because of the environmental regulations established 40 years ago in the Clean Water Act. Section 404 requires any developer that impairs wetlands or streams to fix similar systems in the affected area. And while there's a lot of debate in scientific circles about stream mitigation and the science of restoration, as long as the Clean Water Act remains intact and land continues to be developed at the rate we see today, White and others restoring ecosystems expect to keep making bank, so to speak. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Glynis Board in Logan, West Virginia.
The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Somewhere between experimental folk and traditional Appalachian, you'll find Asheville-based band River Wireless, an up-and-coming indie act making their mountain stage debut on this week's broadcast. Here's All Day, All Night in this Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
All day, all night, 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 all day. So you thought that you caught me licking my wounds on a mountain bald, looking at the Halloween leaves through the eyes of God. Yeah, well, so what if I was? So what if I wasn't? If you opened me up like I just been cut, like I just been cut. Oh, Maria, all day coming down. Oh, Maria, chase the sun, craved it on your skin, and the girl inside you applauding. Now light the mullein in your cigarette as you face the man around your neck and talk about how you just need to breathe. Oh, Marie. All day your face on the ground. All night you try to erase.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to the Mountain Stage podcast to hear River Wireless and their full set in the coming weeks. West Virginia Morning is a project and a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. The Appalachian Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health, Charleston Area Medical Center, and WVU Medicine. West Virginia Morning is a production was produced with help from Dave Mistich, Jessica Lilly, Carol Lofton, Liz McCormick, Jesse Wright, and Roxy Todd. Our producer is Liz McCormick. I'm Bob Powell. This is West Virginia Public Broadcasting, WVPB Charleston, WVBY Beckley, WVBL Bluefield, WVPW Buchanan, WVWV Huntington, WVEP Martinsburg, WVKM Matewan, WVPM Morgantown, WVPG Parkersburg, WVDS Petersburg, WVWS Webster Springs, WVNP Wheeling, and we're online at wvpublic.org, telling West Virginia's story.